Welcome everyone. Welcome to the Business Spotlight Interview Series. And today we have our guest, Atul Lakhani, the CEO of the award-winning catering and event management company, Sanjay Foods. Welcome Atul, welcome to the show. Tell us about you and your business.
So my name's Atul Lakhani. I'm the CEO and founder of Sanjay Foods. We're a catering-based and events company based in out of Leicester. I'm also the owner and CEO of the IXL Event Centre, which is based in Leamington Spa. And the IXL Events Centre is a multi-award winning centre where we specialise in high-end weddings, corporate launches. That's basically what we do.
Wonderful. I was looking at your, your things which are coming up for the Christmas. That looks really fascinating. So wonderful on that one.
Yeah, the Christmas has been, the Christmas events are a big sort of areas of expansion for us. And we're in our third year doing them now. And year upon year, they're getting bigger and better. So it's something we're definitely looking at growing.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, if you look back at your business journey so far, what has inspired you or what inspired you to start the business at the first place?
To be honest, it was almost by default because, I graduated in economics. Hospitality wasn't the career I wanted to pursue. My family had been in the business, so we owned restaurants in Leicester. And as I said, by default, my mother fell ill and then my father fell ill and then I was kind of dragged into the family business, and before you knew it, you're married and that's your way of life. And but for a long period of time I wasn't particularly happy with what I was doing, not because I didn't enjoy hospitality. In fact, I excelled at it. But I wasn't happy being in the family business environment where you had to work around other people.
Yeah.
And for me, it was never about the money. It was more about the sort of standard and recognition and your standing within the business community and, how people perceived you to be. I like to be known for being at the top of what I do.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Sounds a bit arrogant, but it's just...
No, do you know what? This doesn't sound arrogant, but it shows your passion. I would say that's your passion. And you have set such high bar for your own self. So what do you attribute your growth to? What are the...
Well, it's never about just myself. It's always about the team around you. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have at least 5 members of my team who've been with me for longer than 15 years.
Wow.
And they're with you through thick and thin. They believe implicitly in what you do. I'm also, sort of old enough to remember all the hard work, perseverance of my parents, when they left Africa with nothing. I was sort of young enough at the time when I started Sanjay Foods to harbor my own entrepreneurial instincts. And that allowed me to, have a bit more of a focused view on where I needed to go with it. Of course, having a focused view and actually achieving is two different things because, there's invariably constraints, be it whether it's young families or, as in my case, or finance, these all sort of things, which are there to contend with.
Really, definitely. Atul, what has been your learning in this journey? What has been your biggest learnings?
The biggest learning has been that, very early on, I did see this thing that I think there's this understanding that you're only as good as your last event. And no matter how good a work you do for years upon years, it's the one mistake which will be frowned upon. It'll be, the one which will sort of could define what you do. And so hence, I do work on that old adage of, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so we do put the planning and we put the commitment in, we put the effort in because we know that in what we do, there is no plan B. Of course, scenarios can have plan B, But the reality is that the events we host, we cannot, one cannot repeat them. You know, it's not like going into a restaurant and having a bad meal and they give you a free voucher so you can come back again next time for free or whatever. This is, you know, you've got to get it right the first time.
Absolutely. You know, what you're saying is so much relate to what, you know, I've been working with a couple of clients, and planning is the must, you know, as the first step towards a successful event or business for that, because then you have clarity on your heading.
Indeed.
You're absolutely right that it doesn't have to have a plan B, because when you believe in yourself, plan A will happen, and it does happen.
I mean, I often tell clients, you know, I'll say that you'll be sitting there on the top table, and you'll give, at that stage, you'll give anything, you'll pay any amount of money to get it right. But by that time, it's too late. You know, you made your choice earlier on, whether you went for price over quality, whether you, you know, you see these people. So today, through the grace of God and, you know, all our hard work, I mean, we cater for billionaires. So whether last year we did the Ambani wedding, we cater for the Mittals. I did the wedding for the owners of Asda last year. And these are huge, you know, big people. And you can't get it wrong, you know, and equally, but that doesn't mean that we treat our sort of bread and butter business, our everyday weddings, any less. You know, the same degree of planning and effort has to go into it, because then you can stand in front of this event and look all calm and smooth and whatever, without a care in the world, when, because the work's done, you know, and I think that's the key thing.
In fact, you know, I was absolutely right that you have raised the benchmark, you've raised a bar, because, and it's not an easy thing, you know, doing such big events, but I'm sure it would need a lot of planning beforehand to make it.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a whole load of trade-offs, you know, as a result, which I'm sure we'll touch upon later on. But planning is the key. Planning is the key. Having the right people around you is the key. And then also having the sort of fortitude to also understand that, look, whilst all businesses work on P&Ls, and, you know, we've got to be mindful of that, because ultimately that's why you do the business. But that cannot be the forefront of what you're doing. It cannot, you know, because if that is all your focus is purely on that, then something will give.
Yeah, so true. So, Atul, what have you experienced? What have been some misconceptions about the business and the industry, you know? You know, how to run a business. Do you feel there are any misconceptions around there?
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean by misconceptions.
So, you know, the way people run the business, and they have their own ways of doing it, you know, when you came into business. So you felt there is a misconception. I mean, why is this happening the way it shouldn't be?
Are we talking generally now, or are we talking about? Oh, sorry. Are you referring to the comment I made about where people concentrate on P&L? Basically, what I'm saying is that if you're doing something, and it doesn't need to be an events-based business. So if you're doing something in manufacturing, and if you know that the product you're giving is not really up to the quality it should be, then what you really, and you can't, you're thinking, look, I need to make X amount of margin on it. But if you made a little bit less margin on it, but just by your slight enhancement was going to make all the difference to the product, then that you have to, and have to go with that, because or else what happens is it'll be a dare I say a one-off game. You know, you'll only get that order once, you'll get it out on time, they'll pay you, you know, the client will pay you, but they won't come back. And repeat business is the key, is absolutely the key to any industry. You know, that's where you earn your stripes, that's where you earn your equity in your brand. The one-off events are great. We talked about the Ambanis, we talked about the Mittals, they're the icing on the cake. You know, they're the ones that establish your credentials, as in that, wow, if they're good enough for, you know, some of the richest people in the world, then they're good enough for us. Mm. But yeah, I think it's that investment and that ability to say, you know what, I'm going to earn a little bit less. I want to make sure this is right.
Mm. So for you, customer comes first. You know, they're satisfied. Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. The customer journey, the customer, you know, they're ultimately their blessings, you know. And through the grace of God, we work for some really amazing people. And now with my role, I try and actually nip into most of the events if I can. Mm. You know, so I'll probably have a driver taking me around, because you know, so it doesn't need to be someone who's a high flying client. It can be just just a nice wedding.
Yeah.
And it just means so much to the client if they see my face there. So that's what I try and do. I think, you know, that's where, as my late mother would say, that's where you get your blessing, your ashirvad, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know, what you just mentioned there about the repeat business and, you know, the personal touch you're adding to your customer's life is so important. Yeah. I think it's a long-term strategy. Which reminds me, you know, I've been working with a lot of clients on valuation increase. And repeat business is one of the keys for increasing the business valuation. And you've just absolutely nailed it. You know, it's a long-term thing. Yeah. It's not just one event or a P&L.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're going to be a bit cautious. I mean, I always never wanted to be the brand.
Mm.
But unfortunately, invariably, I have become a bit of a brand, which... So there is a fine line, you know, you do want to kind of disassociate yourself a little bit, because there's only one of you.
Yeah.
So it is a fine line, but equally where possible, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good point. We'll come back to this one, you know, this one is very important. But Atul, what is the vision for the future?
So the future is, I mean, one thing is I don't take anything for granted anymore. You know, many things have happened in life, and obviously the pandemic made us realize that, you know, it could all be gone tomorrow. Mm. So there are expansion plans. We were nearly decimated. We nearly were ruined through the pandemic. I think we were probably about 2 months away from bankruptcy, because we couldn't sustain the losses any longer.
Mm.
But we were ethical. We paid back all the clients whose deposits we held. Mm. We met all our financial obligations and commitments. And, you know, praise God, since then, business has been flying. You know, in fact, we're more in demand now than ever. But the sheer business landscape has changed. I mean, the workforce since Brexit has more or less disappeared. I have this theory that in the 60s, you had the Windrush generation, you know, the Caribbeans, and then you had the Asians in the sort of 70s, 80s, even 90s, and then you had the Eastern European.
Mm.
Now, with them disappearing as well, you know, the human resource aspect is pretty difficult.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's we can expand, but, you know, we've got to do it within a strategic manner, mm. In a way whereby we can cope with the work we have.
Mm.
Because it's no point having a busy order book and then failing to deliver, because again, that goes back to the point I made earlier. You're only as good as your last event, and
yeah,
it's the one event which didn't go quite well, which, you know, jeopardizes your reputation.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. COVID would have been difficult for you guys. I mean, the hospitality industry was hit massively.
Yeah, so we were deprived of grants. We had, you know, we had millions of pounds worth of business wiped away from our books. We had basically no income. That said, we did a low-level takeaway service from my Sanjay Foods business in Leicester. And that was a great time, because where I did benefit was I took on chefs who used to work elsewhere, but they didn't have any cover in terms of furlough money, etc.
Okay.
And some of the hotels, like the Marriott's hotels, they laid off certain key people, and I took them on. So it was a huge risk at the time when you've got zero income coming in and you're facing an extremely uncertain future. But then I was able to enhance our back of office team. And, so we did this sort of takeaway, a high-end gourmet takeaway. And now it wasn't really lucrative. I mean, the things it did, it employed these people. It kept us sane because, you know, we were busy working. And, we won a big, huge Chamber of Commerce award. We were able to reconnect with the people in our community, within our locality. And I do try and see the glass as being half full, and I do try and see the optimistic side of things. And we learned a harsh lesson on a personal front. We lost people to the dreaded COVID, and which is something obviously you have to live with. But I do believe that what doesn't break you, often makes you. So in that respect, there are certain positives.
Wonderful. It seems that listening to you, COVID was a blessing in disguise. Has brought a couple of things.
Oh no, I wouldn't go that far at all. But it just, as I said, it gives you a bit of a reality check.
Yeah.
I think in that respect, yes, because you know not to take anything for granted.
Yeah.
There we were, we'd just taken over the IXL, we were on cloud nine, we were the in thing. And before you know it, it could have all been gone. There you go. We live to tell the tale.
And it tested. I mean, I think COVID was a time when it was a high pressure, and the only companies who survived who could come out of it and had a strong foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we found a lot of companies in our industry, they disappeared.
Yeah.
But they were the fly-by-night companies who, over-promised and under-delivered. Mm. We under-promise, we over-deliver, but then I did pretty early on realize the importance of brands. We are a brand today, and it's very important to why do companies become brands? So that, they get the recognition. Mm. They've got a standing within the business community. Mm. They can command a particular price.
Mm.
And, and I think that really helped us survive the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So, Atul, you have touched upon the business challenge as, human resource is a challenge currently looking at that.
Huge challenge. Yeah.
How do you cope up with it? How do you come?
Well, I've started to. So when I first started Sanjay Foods, I used to recruit from Dubai. I was quite a visionary in that respect. Then obviously everyone started bringing in chefs from India and everywhere you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually gone full circle back, and I've just come back from Dubai. And I've just recruited four new people from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up paying a lot more to them with their accommodation and everything than I would locally. But it's that skill set, and it's well worth paying, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Then we are trying to sort of develop the younger members of the team. Soon we'll be liaising with the colleges and to see how, we can do various apprenticeships and so on. But I think we just need to fortify the sort of team in the first instance before we embark upon that next journey.
Wonderful. Actually, human resource is the key to grow. And without a good team, a company can grow up to a certain level only. But beyond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a ceiling beyond which you physically cannot.
Cannot. Exactly.
And it's a crying shame. I think Brexit has done probably more damage to the hospitality industry than COVID itself.
Mm.
So, and I don't say that loosely. So.
Mm. And then, training your team members and investing in their growth as well is so important, which I'm sure you're doing that and you see the results, because a business can only grow up to the level or competence level of the team. So
absolutely,
it's so important. So this one is my favorite, Atul. I'm going to ask you this. What advice would you give to your younger self?
I would teach myself not to take myself too seriously. I would say, you know, if you're embarking upon the business journey, take all the relevant advice. Do not for a second think that you're good at something, so you will succeed, or that, you know, put your ego to one side, because the business journey can be one of the best you'll embark upon in your life, or it could also be one of the worst. You know, I mentioned this trade-off, series of trade-offs. I mean, I had a very young family when I started, and they're no longer young. And sometimes it's been very difficult with the children because you were never there. And so it's very important to find that balance. Did I find it? No, I didn't. But, you know, but that is life. And that was perhaps the circumstances I was under. But yeah, I think these are all the factors you need to consider. You know, and then if we go back on a business angle, you know, people talk about a business plan. Now, you know, a business plan shouldn't be just a funding document. You know, you shouldn't just look at it as something to go to the bank with and, you know, maybe they'll lend you X amount of money. It should be something that you can work on your business. You know, and if this is where it's imperative to get a good business plan, not simply for funding requirements, but what is your strategy? What's your year one? What's your year two? Because or else what you can become is just a lifestyle business.
Absolutely.
Which works. Now, if you've got, you know, lots of members in the family who are going to jump in and help you and do that, then that's fine. That will work. And there's nothing against that. I know some hugely successful people who have done that. And of course, if you can have family members who've got the same vested interest as you, it's all the better. The downside, of course, is the close family may not stay very close if you work together. So there's also that trade-off. But yeah, I mean, just look, be sincere, be earnest in what you do, be honest in what you do. You know, ethics do get you far in life. That may not always seem that way. I mentioned earlier about, you know, your product, have pride, have, it's not arrogance, but be prideful about what you do, because that shows your commitment, you know, your investment within whatever product or service that you're offering. And also don't be afraid to change course. I remember having a restaurant where I lost a lot of money in, and I wouldn't change course. And that was such a big mistake. You know, I was flogging a dead horse when I should have just turned it into a jacket potato shop and it would have done an absolute killing. But I didn't feel it went along with our brand. So, you know, look at things objectively. If you've got more than one business, you know, you've grown, you've expanded, just see that what's the best way to monetize that next one. Keep it separate from your business. Keep it, you know, you can still be the owner of it, but keep it separate so that that way there's no blurred lines, there's no confusion. This is and sometimes you'll find that jacket potato shop or hot dog van or whatever will make you far more money than something. Yeah, because, you know, your overheads are limited. Your exposure is limited. You know, your borrowing is not there. You may not be paying the high rates and rentals which you would in a prime location. So these are all things to think about. And remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. And you're not going to build your business overnight. It's going to take a long time. Of course, if you're in some technology-based businesses, you've got these whiz kids who overnight. But for every one of them, there's 10,000 who fail. So, you know, tread carefully, but do it. Don't let anyone stop you not doing it, because you'll know inside if you're a businessman or a businesswoman. How successful you are will depend upon how much you put in. Absolutely. And, you know, even businesses that fail, I still feel they're winners because they had a go, you know? And if I knew today what I knew, sorry, if I knew then what I know now, well, you know, I'd probably be sitting on my yacht. No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, it's just knowledge is wealth. Knowledge and experience are wealth. So if somebody takes you to one side, gives you a bit of advice, helps you, don't see it negatively. Even if you felt any part of it was not productive to you, be grateful for that advice and just take away the bits you need, because that's what will ultimately define you.
Lovely, lovely. Atul, that's what you just shared was golden nuggets there. I was reflecting on the fact that I keep talking to the clients, and we say that business and you are two separate identities. A business owner and a business is very separate. So think about the business, you know.
Absolutely.
What is needed for the business once you go ahead, not the emotions which a business owner brings in, which is good, but at the end, it's a different journey altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then absolutely.
And actually, that's a good point because, and I was guilty of this. I let emotions govern me too long in my business. The minute you disassociate yourself emotionally, it's the best thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to think more proactively, more productively.
Mm.
And you will not let things get to you because you're looking at it through, or else you're looking through it through tainted glasses, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? In Action Coach, we say a business is a profitable commercial enterprise that works without you. So it has
absolutely
to be a profitable enterprise that does not. Yeah.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the ultimate goal in whatever you do. That's what you need. Because look, you're the office bearer, almost to speak. Yes, you may have given birth to that business. It may have been your ideas. It may have been your thoughts, everything. But ultimately, and the other thing is also to start thinking of exit strategies.
Yeah.
It's very difficult when you start to think of an exit. But if you had that in your mind that, I'm going to work for the next 10 years. I'm going to break my back. I'm going to do anything that's needed of me. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make these sacrifices. I'm not going to be out with my friends. I'm not going to enjoy the holidays. But this is a time, because after year five, you'll start getting a bit more clear picture of how far are you? Do you really need, can you do it within the next five? Or do you really need another 10? But an exit strategy, because remember, any exit strategy will take you, at least five to six years to, conclude. From start to finish. So it's just important to have that. And the other thing is also, so if you're a relatively fledgling business and you're seeing that actually there's a big market leader in your business, but what you're doing is, is going to be useful to them somewhere down the road, whether it's because of your technology, because of the brand you've cultivated, because of the location you're in, then, be aware of that these people can actually come and buy you out. And that's where you cannot feel, oh no, they can't buy. I made a classic mistake, in my opinion. I named my business Sanjay Foods after my eldest son. Now, I don't advocate that. I did it because it was a typical Indian thing to do, but I don't advocate that. I think you should depersonalize certain things.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, and also if you look at it, it actually can put a lot of unnecessary pressure on you.
Yeah.
So that's just something I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
Hence, IXL Event Center. I would never call it after one of my children.
Yeah, and I think it makes it difficult to exit because it adds a lot of emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you become, you are then once again the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, wonderful, Atul. This is the last question which I ask almost all the business owners, that if there is any question I've not asked that you wished I would have asked, what would it be?
I think, the questions you've presented, incidentally, I didn't look at the questions which you emailed to me. I prefer to be able to speak on the spur.
Yeah.
Because if I try and plan a meeting like that, it's a bit disingenuous. It's not quite, what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Would I recommend people to go into business? Yeah, sure. I think the life, small businesses are the lifeblood of the economy.
Mm.
And, any entrepreneurial instincts you have, do them while you're young. Don't try and, I started a bit later in my life, which I wish, that's a mistake for me. I should have gone, I was in a fairly successful family business, which did well, but it never really realized its true potential. And I wasted too many years trying to change it. that in life there are things which you can change and things that you can't change. And if you get to a point where you can't change it, just move. Don't let the emotional baggage or anything hold you back. Get on with it, you know. And again, you know, if I know people who have started businesses late in life because A, maybe they didn't have the sort of guts to do it, or B, they had the emotional baggage and then they did it. Whereas had they done it earlier, and you know, but do go, I like going with my gut instinct. You know, if something tells me this is right, but equally it can't just be off a whim. You can't just
absolutely.
All right, I woke up today. You know, you've got to do the work. You've got to do the planning.
Yes.
And the research, you know, do the research. Just because that business is doing well doesn't mean you will do well. You know, they're doing well because, I don't know, they may have inherited a lot of money. They may have a lot of family within that business. They may have a huge contract which you're not aware of. So, you know, not everything that comes in your head is guaranteed to succeed. But I'd like to think that when you do have that feeling, you'll kind of know. But if you follow some of the steps which I've said, I don't claim to be an expert, but I've got a lot of experience. And, you know, and also learn from your mistakes. That's the biggest message I'd like to say. Learn from your mistakes. If you do a mistake once, twice, fine. Do not do it three times. Because if you keep repeating your mistakes, then what's it about? You know, you'll have peaks and troughs, highs and lows in your business all the time. And then there's no continuity.
Yeah.
And the reason you did the business was to become successful, become recognized, become make some money, you know. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a business. And don't forget that.
Yes. And I mean, that's a wonderful note to end up. Ultimately, it's just a business. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Atul. It has been wonderful having you.
No, my pleasure. I hope it worked out okay. You know.
It has been wonderful, Atul. Is there anything you want to, I mean, you're going on with Christmas, any offers, anything you want to share, feel free to do that.
We've got some amazing Christmas nights. I think 3-4 of them are sold out already. You know, if anybody comes through this, we'll offer them a sort of 10% discount on our tables. But it's one not to be missed. You know, we do high-end Asian weddings. So for us to do Christmas, it's easy peasy, you know, and we've got the right team to do it. But year upon year, you know, it's growing. And, you know, I'm quite old fashioned. I like to go to places where there's no trouble.
Yeah.
I like that sophistication, the class. And, you know, if you want a great night out, then IXL Event Center for Christmas is the place to be.